In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. For the last several weeks, I've been in a fog. A fog of political rhetoric, mass killings, dead priests, terrorisms throughout the world, and violence. Every day it seems like it's something new. I just want to bury my head in the sand, ignore the headlines, you know, pull the sheets over my head. If it isn't ISIS, it's he's a bigot or she's a criminal. He's cheated, she's cheated. The economy will fail if the United Kingdom leaves the European Union. Stocks will go up if Great Britain leaves the European Union. Talk, talk, talk. The noise is endless. People and government leaders are more worried which bathroom people should use and forget that there are thousands of homeless people that don't have bathrooms to use or a bed to sleep in. I realize that these are all distractions, all designed to distract us from the real problems that are hidden in plain sight right in front of us. In the meanwhile, the experts and our leadership are talking gibberish, and there's violence and drugs raging in the streets. Our education system is in shambles. The earth is pillaged for the profits of a few. The constant bombardment of negativity, it's just overwhelming. And I'm not blameless in this chaos. I can't point fingers without pointing a finger at the man in the mirror. I'm sure that all of you passed at least one homeless person begging on the corner on the way to church today. I know I passed several of the homeless and did nothing. I can't fix it. Whatever I do won't help. I'm done. I give up. It's too screwed up to fix. What can I do? I'm so done. I paint a bleak picture, don't I? I'm sure that many of you sometimes feel the same way. The people in ancient times had the same problems and frustrations as we have now. In today's reading, God, through his prophet Isaiah, speaks of the leadership of Jerusalem, and he compares them to the people of Sodom, a people more concerned with rituals and sacrifices than their relationship with God. Now, several commentaries interpret this relationship with God as being centered on justice and the care for the orphans, because they did not even try to rescue the oppressed or defend the orphan or provide for the poor. I believe we can make that same comparison of the world's leaders today. Like Jerusalem, they are more concerned with all of their power, lofty speeches, ridiculous tweets, traditions, polls, and ceremonies. Yet they do nothing to feed the poor or shelter the homeless. They did, and we do, ignore justice. We do not plead or give voice to the voiceless. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure for heaven, in heaven, where no thieves come near and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." But here's the good news, because there is always good news. The Spirit works in strange ways through people that we meet. Let me give you an example. Recently, I was in an outreach meeting where one of the women gave the group an update on a village in Ghana that she has been working with. A village where the problems are so many to count. And yet, in the midst of all of this chaos, There is good news because many people are doing tiny little gifts, projects. Each project may seem inconsequential on its face, but collectively, these tiny acts of kindness and love are life-changing. Every tiny good deed or mitzvah, to quote some of my Jewish friends, a brick is a brick that can be used to build a better life for the people of that small village. The gospel today, we hear, sell your possessions, give alms to the poor, make a purse that no one can ever take away. God is telling us to get our priorities right. Let me give you an example. I could go to Best Buy and purchase a new laptop for, let's say, $900. And replace an older model that's in working condition. But for that same amount of money, I can provide for a scholarship that would provide room, board, and tuition to one of those boys and girls in that small village for an entire year. Now, in 2 years, that new laptop that I bought will be obsolete. It'll be disposable. However, that year of education can never be taken away from that child. The gifts are permanent and life-changing. And the knowledge that you had a positive direct effect on a child is also permanent and life-changing. That direct connection of giving and receiving is much better than writing a check or purchasing some toiletries for Caritas in December. Now, don't let me give you the wrong idea. All donations are greatly accepted. However, would it not be better if you shared some of your time with our guests in December? Get to know them face to face. Let them know the feeling of bonding and humility and community. It's such a gift. It's permanent. It does not go away. Time does not fade that relationship. Letting our guests know that they are loved and cared for is a gift that just cannot be taken away. What I'm trying to say is that the problems of the world are so massive and overwhelming that it's just easy to give up. If we all, each and every one of us, did a tiny bit to improve the quality of life and the people that we met daily, collectively, those bricks of kindness and love will become the walls for the mansion and the kingdoms of God right here today. My son Jason and I are both Eagle Scouts. Justin and I are Eagle Scouts. And we both try to live up to the motto, be prepared, which could be the title for today's readings as well. Well, one day, Justin and I were at a religious service, and they were reciting the baptismal covenant. And Justin, my son, the master of understatement, commented that the baptismal covenant and the Eagle Scout charge of oath are very similar. They're almost identical. And he observed that perhaps we, he and I, were not living up to the oaths that we had made. How much better would the world be if we all lived up to our baptismal covenant? I don't want to sound like a politician, but one man cannot fix all the problems in the world, despite what is said. However, collectively, I think we can. At least we can make it better. The problems of the world seem overwhelming at times, but don't give up. In Hebrews today, we hear faith, faith. Faith in God, because all of the promises that God has ever made has been fulfilled. The feeling of hopelessness can be changed into an empowering feeling by pushing back the negativity. Push back with every positive act, every mitzvah, rebuilding your spirit. I get a kick out of religious bumper stickers. Last week I saw one that said, "Look busy, God is coming." We're having a ministry fair in a few weeks, and I'd like to invite you all to stop by and see how you can find ways to make a few bricks of kindness and love for the kingdom on earth. Love your neighbor. Don't look busy. Get busy. Amen.